Well, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 60, verse 1 again. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That was so good. It's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my favorite singers. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. What a time we are in. Father, we pray right now for the justices. Oh, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that your hand is upon them. We thank you that the states have their authority back. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God resting on the justices. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing, Father, because as a preacher, I'm called to preach the gospel. And as a person, I'm called to protect my preaching of the gospel. And so I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're doing in this church. And if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. First and foremost, get yourself to another level. That's what it means in the Hebrew. We're going to another level. Now, we said Sunday that there are some things that God, remember the scripture that said, I want you to get up and I want you to go to the plain of wherever it was. I can't think of where it was right now. I read you the scripture. I'm take you over to that plain and I'm going to talk to you over there. But you're going to have to get up and move over there, he said. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there are some things that God can't tell you because you're not up high enough. You've got to get up high enough to hear the Lord. You got to get up high enough to see what's going on with God to get what you need to get from him. And so first and foremost, we get ourselves to another level. That's what the Jews say. And we are created to go from level to level. So if the church arises, then the glory comes. Amen. So we're all wanting to go higher in this awakening. And we want that personally. And we want that corporately. It's just so much fun to watch the Holy Spirit lead us right to where we need to go. Because on Sunday morning, I'm preaching Arise, Get Yourself to Another Level. Sunday night, me and Deb and Danny went to see Pastor Nancy in Georgetown. She gave us a mama whipping. And it was so good. It's just what I needed to hear because it was the answer to the next step for us. And so it's not something that isn't familiar to me, but it's sure something I needed to hear again. And so all week long, she's been talking on the fact that it's a time for miracles. It is absolutely a time for miracles. And so she was talking about what happens with miracles. And how you get there. And you know, we are about to walk through the door to more.
Yes.
That's what I'm calling it. The door to more. And I believe we have the answer to the door to for more. And personally and corporately. And we need that to get these miracles going. So the answer to it is simple. It's one word. Honor. Honor. Honor is so important, church. And we all understand that what you respect will come to you and what you disrespect will go away from you. There are people who don't believe the Bible and it doesn't bother them. A lot of people don't believe the word of God about prosperity and they think that you should be broke to be a good Christian and they don't believe the message, and so it's not going to bother them. Some people don't believe that Jesus is the healer, and he's not going to bother them with it if they don't believe. They don't respect the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are not going to respect them. If you don't want to be enriched financially so that you can help the kingdom of God, it's not going to come to you. It's what you desire and then what you faith for that will actually come to you. Now, so if we respect Holy Spirit and the way he's moving in a service, then we can move further into the plan. If we have respect for leaders, if we have respect for each other, if we have respect for the anointing and God himself, then we're going to be invited further in, further up. You know, and many don't want to hear this, but it's just the truth. It's absolutely the truth that we have a part to play with God. Well, you know, we're in grace. We don't have to do anything. Come on. We're not talking about earning God's love. We don't have to earn God's love. We couldn't earn his salvation. We're not talking about earning, period, but we are talking about doing our part in a relationship. Would it be any different if you're in a relationship here in the natural? You have to respond to that person that you're in relationship with. Or what? You don't have one. Amen. So, grace will empower us to do these things in our walk with God. As Pastor Nancy said, she said it was time for miracles. And she said this, and I'm going to just quote some things that she said, and I want to ask you if you'll go listen to her. Just get on YouTube and look at her miracle sessions from Sunday night to Thursday night, and you're going to learn some good stuff and some true stuff. And so one of the things that she did say is that just because it's a time for miracles doesn't mean they're going to happen. Just the truth. See, she reminded me of this, and many of you have heard this before. Brother Hagin said, when reverence and honor are restored, there will be restoration and multiplication of the miraculous power of God. When reverence and honor are restored, which tells us that at the time he believed they weren't. But he was prophesying that when people begin to honor the word again, when they begin to honor church again, when they begin to honor the leaders, when they begin to honor the presence of God, that there will be change. And I really do believe that because it's a flow that God will respond to. What do you respond to? It's a little hard to respond to someone who's despises you than it is someone who honors you. Amen. So the thing about this is honor will keep us from getting flaky and lazy. It'll cause us not to get all flaky and lazy about things. It keeps us from doing that, and it'll keep you out of pride, because it keeps the flow of humility. I mean, it does, it'll keep you humble. If you honor others and you honor God's presence, you honor church, you honor your boss, you'll be humble. That's what it is. That's what humility is. You put others before you. Humble is not you degrading yourself. God's not looking for that. He wants you to have a great self-image. But he's, knowing that when you put others before you, above you, that's when you're walking in true humility. So evidently Brother Hagin was seeing these things. So when we learn to honor, we don't start treating what flows through heaven lightly. You with me? It's just not lightly to you. Well, yeah, you know. That's good, and this is the anointing. Now, you know, I mean, we don't treat that lightly. Brother Hagin, once again, I want to say it one more time. When reverence and honor are restored, there will be restoration and multiplication of the miraculous power of God. So what he's telling us is that we need a deep respect for the things of God. Honor is high regard for something. It means to put something first. You're going to put it first. When you honor something, it's never going to be common again. You honor it. It's never common. It won't be casual. You know, life seems to be all about being comfortable. And we like that. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. But you just have to watch out how comfortable you get in certain situations. How comfortable you get with some people. Pastor John and Miss Ann are some of our best friends, and we grew up over 25 years hanging out together, and we'd sit in their living room and he'd play his Taylor guitar and we'd sing all kinds of songs. And you know, Pastor John could play rock and roll like nobody's business. You know, he could play country. He could play anything. Just in there playing Hank Williams one night and everything. But I learned something early on with him. If he was my Paul and I was his Timothy, then that would never be common. I would not cross that line. As good as a friend that he was to me, when he called my name, it was yes, sir. And when he suggested something, it became a command to me. Unless he said, now, Rox, I know you'll do anything I tell you to do, so I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just making suggestions. He would have to make that very clear, or I'd be on it. Because that's really how you're supposed to be when you honor someone. You're ready to do what they've called you to do. You make them look good. But when we come to church, it's not like any other location that you went to today. This is not HEB. This is not the beach. This is church. Now, we're all friendly and comfortable, and that's wonderful. But there is a certain reverence that we need to have. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about getting all stuffy. But I'm talking about an honor for the presence of God, for the anointing of God, for the flow of God in the house. So how will everyone know church is different than anything else? It will be how we approach it. It'll be how we talk about it. It'll also be how we dress about it. Now obviously, we're casual here. And if we all start wearing suits and dresses, there are a lot of people that aren't going to walk through our doors. We live in a different culture out here. And lots of people come in here after work and everything. And it took me, I wore a dress to church when me and Bill and Ron and Deb and Pauline and Gay and all of us, we were dressed up. All of us were dressed up. But over a period of time, we saw things work better like this. But we can still look good in what we're wearing. We can still iron the stuff. We can still be clean. We can still put on some makeup. Ladies, put on makeup. And we can, I'm just playing, sort of. But anyway, we can go ahead and, you know, comb our hair and do things like that that we need to do and honor the Lord. Everybody's doing this. Okay. Too late. No. So, you know, I'm okay. I mean, you know, when we called for Kelly to come, she wanted to know what kind of church we were. And so we checked casual. And that's okay. Pastor Nancy's church is all dresses and suits. That's what they're called to do. I'm not trying to put that on you. But what I'm trying to say is how we do dress. That it matters how we look. Okay? Amen. You can look nice without, you know, wearing a tuxedo all the time. But, I mean, if you wanted to wear one, we'd be happy with you. Sure. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay. So I hope I handled that okay for you. So here's 1 Samuel 2:30. It says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, I got this from Pastor Nancy, too. And it is just amazing to think about that. We're the ones who determine how we're treated by God. Now, I'll say that to you again. You are. You are the one that determines how you're going to be treated. Well, I thought God treated everybody the same. No, No, he doesn't. Everyone gets the freedom and the blessing to live with God how they want to. He gave you a free will. You can receive as much as you want to receive from him. You can be as much of a friend as you want to be with him. You can be as much of a kid of, you know, father-son, father-daughter relationship as much as you want to be. And all your stuff is already yours. It's up to you how much you want to receive. It's all just in light speed up, you know. You can get it into the earth and you can have a relationship with him the way you want to. But it's going to be up to you. You know, people are like, it's not fair. That person drives debt-free cars and they're making a lot of money and I'm still way back here. Who determined that? Who determined it? You're not going to be able to blame that on God or fate or, well, maybe it was the plan. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You need to read the Bible. That's not the plan. People put that over into providence. That isn't the truth. It's your relationship. It's your stewardship. Stewardship is not a dirty word. Amen. Amen. So we determine the way we approach is the way we receive. The way we approach is the way we receive. That means this. You reap what you sow. That's all that means. You reap what you sow. So the more we honor and revere God, the more we're going to be honored. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, in just a minute, I'll read you the scripture that says that it's true, and you can decide for yourself if the Bible lies or not. But it said there, what we lightly esteemed. What about that? What about lightly esteemed? What is that? Because God has preference? No. God doesn't have preference. It's because of how they sowed to him, and you can only receive what you sowed. You're the one. You can only have capacity to receive a harvest that you've sown for. That's all you can do. That part is up to you. Whatever you're willing to sow, that's what you're going to be able to receive. What Brother Hagin say? Multiplied back to you. It's going to be multiplied back to you. But if you haven't sown, and get your mind off money right now. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about life here. What you've sown in life. Character, behavior, relationships, words. Come on. It's because of how you sowed and how that's as much as you can receive. So if you treated him lightly, then he's going to treat you lightly. Let me tell you why. He's not doing this. Okay, you going to treat me lightly? I'll just treat you lightly.
No.
That God's not like that. He treats you lightly. He would treat you lightly because if you treated him lightly and he treated you with great honor, you couldn't receive it. You couldn't receive it. You don't have the capacity to do that. This is really good for us. You don't have the capacity to have it. And then it said there, they that despise me. What's that about? What do you mean they that despise me? Well, it's not through wording or words that someone despises God. People don't say, I just despise God. You don't hear that. It's either I don't believe in God or I'm mad at God. Nobody really just says, I just despise God. Well, it's not about words. It's through response and it's through approach. You know, he knows if you've despised him through your response to him, your approach to him. You can say, I honor, but if you don't have actions to back that up, it's not there. People say, well, I love the Lord. I just don't want to go to church, but I love the Lord. Well, what's that saying to the Lord? What's it saying? Well, I love the Lord, but I'm not tithing. Well, what's that saying to the Lord? Well, I love the Lord, but I don't have time to serve. I couldn't serve. What's that saying to the Lord? It's saying, okay, they want me to lightly esteem them in their life.
Wow.
That's what it's saying. There's not as much honor there. I know this is hard, but we need to take it. I mean, I had to take it. You have to take it. They were talking about, Nancy was talking about making sure you honor every sheep with your mouth and don't let people, she went in and fired someone who was great because his wife was talking about the sheep. You think that's tough? No. Not if you're going to have something great. Not if you're going to have miracles. Brother Robert Morris, we were listening to him. I think it was one Thanksgiving. We were driving up to Jesse's lake house, Deb's daughter. And he said, when that boy wanted to marry my daughter, I checked out who he honored. Find out three people that he honored. Who does he honor? And then he checked his tithing record. You go, gosh, that's his kid. That's his girl. Her life is going to be placed over into his hands. Who does he honor? Well, he found out who he honored because you look in your checkbook and you'll find out who you honor. Do you esteem him lightly? Or do you honor him? I'm preaching really good right now. I just copying Nancy. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Pastor Nancy. I know you're probably not watching this tonight, but I appreciate it. Now, so if you despise something, you treat it as unimportant. I don't know if I'm going this morning. Well, I'll think about it. I just don't know. That's treating something lightly. Church is unimportant to you. It is. I don't know why you are so quiet. You're here every time the door's open. Lord. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. And we all need to look straight ahead because in some place we've all treated something lightly. I'm making the corrections. So this is a conviction, not a condemnation message. You know, where does God and his kingdom fall into the list of your day? Well, we might go by there. You know, where does it fall into what you're thinking? See, I don't have to decide. Of course, I really don't. But you don't have to decide whether you're coming on Sunday. You don't wake up and ask your body whether you're coming. Your body says, we're getting up and we're going. That's right. No matter what looks on your face, you're rubbing your eyes, you know. Praise the Lord. Prop you up coming in the door and then you walk in. Glory to God. And you get healed when you get here. Praise the Lord. But you don't ask. Your body just knows, your soul knows that you're going to follow your spirit. I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just trying to help us get into some honor. So to despise something is to treat something as trivial. See, now you go, well, I love God, but I don't like church that much. Now, I know, obviously, it's not y'all. But let's just talk about it. I love God, but I don't love church. Now think about what you're saying. Because Jesus is the head, and the body of Christ is the body on the head. And if you read the New Testament, you've got to be connected to the body. And that's how the blood flows to you. You don't get any life if you bail. Now, it's easy for us to say because we're all sitting here and standing here. We're all doing it. But people don't realize. Now, listen, people just don't realize that. Don't start thinking about your relatives. Well, they're not in church. No. They just not realizing, just like tonight, I'm probably going to say a few things that you didn't realize. Okay? Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So give people a break, but I declare that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, that these things are important. Romans 9:13 says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, God didn't do that. God didn't go, you know what I really love? I really love Jacob, but I hate that is Esau. No, they decided that. Jacob and Esau decided how God would treat them. Yep. Amen. I very much actually, as a pastor, that's my rule. I will not seek people out like a seeking missile. If they want to be in more of a relationship with me, then I will be. If they want to submit to me, a lot of you, maybe I'm just your preacher. Some of you, I am your pastor. And I mean, if you want my advice, then I'll find out and I'll become that to you. But I'm not going to go around giving everybody advice that doesn't want it. There's no use in doing it. Now, if I see you're in danger, I will warn you. But I can only get as close to someone as they will get to me. And God's the same way. He's the same way. He will only be able to get as close to you as you will get with him. So Esau and Jacob were doing that. And so God didn't decide that. They did. See, two people can come out of the same household. And one can be totally in and one's totally out. But whose decision was that? They had the same mama and daddy. But it was, and they all went to the same church or whatever. But one of them wanted to do it and one of them didn't. People take different paths. Some of them despise God. They make little of God. And some people, they wouldn't say that. Your sister or brother or uncle wouldn't say, well, I just despise God. Yet, without the honor, according to the scripture, that's what it is. And you don't need to go telling them that. I'm just giving you examples. The Lord will deal with people, not you.
That's right.
Amen. Now, but so here we have them. You're going to reap what you sow. Esau goes hunting. He comes home hungry. Jacob's cooking the brown beans or the lentils, whatever they were. He's over there cooking. He was the mama's boy. I know he was because mama told him what to do. And I know y'all think he was the supplanter, but I believe he was the mama obeyer. And he's stirring the stuff. And here comes, hey, I'm really hungry. Can I have some of that? Yeah. For your birthright. That's really fair, huh? But what does Esau say to him? He just says, well, you know, let me read you the scripture, Genesis 25:32. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Okay, so this is what he said in Texas. I'm starving to death after hunting for one day, and he's starving to death. All right, you can have it. Give me a bowl of beans. It wasn't important to him. The birthright was not important to him. Nancy called that drama. She says, that's drama when you're saying you're starving to death just because you didn't eat for one day. Listen to the words, church. Listen to the words. What good can this birthright do me? Lightly esteemed. What good would it do to go to church? What good would it do for me to raise my hands and worship? What good would it do for me to actually pay attention? What good would it do for me to get up and do it? What good would it do for me to serve? See, what we have to understand here is Esau traded the important for the unimportant. He traded it. Amen. And the thing about him is hunger didn't change Esau. Hunger didn't change him. It revealed his inward attitude. Hunger revealed his inward attitude. You know the Hangry commercial? Okay, I don't know what to talk about. Yeah, there you go. Y'all got the message without me talking about it, didn't you? And the message is not to eat a Snicker bar. I didn't mean that. But you start getting angry, but the excuse is you get angry because you're hungry. And people will say, I'm sorry, I'm just, what do they say? My sugar level was low. I apologize. Well, Well, no excuse, sir. Amen. So, but this revealed his attitude, the attitude that he already was esteeming this thing lightly. So he couldn't receive what he did not regard. You got that? He didn't receive what he did not regard. What wasn't, if it wasn't important to him enough to respect it and honor it, it didn't need to be his. So stop being mad at Jacob. Jacob, when I get to heaven, you need to pat me on the back for that. I just helped you. All right. So you cannot have a teaspoon of regard and get a dump truck of honor. Okay. You cannot, You cannot have a teaspoon of regard and get a dump truck of regard back. If you don't have it, you won't get it. Am I saying that right? I think I messed it up again. If you're only going to regard something, I have to say it so I get it. If you're only going to regard a teaspoonful, you're not going to get a truck back full of regard. Yeah. You're going to get back a teaspoon.
That's right.
God will lightly esteem you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going somewhere with this. This isn't all about church going. This is going somewhere bigger, but I had to just use some simpler examples, okay? So you're only going to have the capacity that you can hold. The greater degree of honor you have will determine the degree of capacity that you will receive. Once again. Now, here's where I wanted to go. John, can you turn on the cool? We have honor for the presence of God. We have honor for God himself. We have honor for people. There are certain ways that honor behaves. For one thing, when we're talking about others and you're visiting with them, you actually listen to them. Example. Yeah. What about texting while the preaching's going on? I had this feeling to just start walking the aisles and looking. Because you can't tell me everybody's taking notes. Yeah. I'll check those after church. I'm kidding. I know you are. And I used my phone. Was going to use my phone at Nancy's, but she was going so fast, I just was listening. But we honor our boss. And I'm going to say something to you about that. Those of you that have bosses, you're supposed to do what they're telling you to do. Did y'all know that? Well, they told me I was going to do so-and-so, and I told them what I was going to do. You rebellious thing, you. I've had people say that to me. I'm like, don't you get it? You are working for them. And if you don't honor and respect them, quit the job for their sake. We honor our spiritual leaders. Yes, who was that on here? Something came in. Example. We pay attention. And we don't sit behind someone and make remarks that make them lose their concentration. The person in front of you. I mean, I like all the amens. There's no problem with that. But when they're saying things that'll draw people's attention away from what's going on, that's disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful. What if it's a matter of life and death?
Yeah. Yeah.
and you're sitting there making jokes or something, and not to be spiteful at the preacher. It's just, you think it's kind of funny. Yeah. But it's not funny. It's not funny to the anointed one. It's not funny when someone may need exactly what's being spoken. But there needs to be an honor. There needs to be a respect. There needs to be a respect when the presence of God comes down here heavy in this place. There needs to be a respect during the praise and worship time for God, to honor God. You can lightly esteem if you want to, but don't expect the miracles to be coming through your hands, because you won't be able to handle or take them. Well, where's the miracles? Why are we having? Well, what are you doing corporately in the meeting? Are you helping us? Are you making supply?
Yeah.
Are you standing there going, yeah. You know, during the prayer meetings, do you come in and everybody else is shumping, and you're over there going, I'm pushing you.
You are.
I'm pushing you on purpose. Wake up.
Yes.
Don't count that prayer time as common. We're getting something done at that time. We're moving things at that time. We're moving things during, when we're worshiping God, we're doing something important. It can't be a time where we're just like, yeah, you know, I don't like that song. I'm going to wait till it's through. I might like the next one. And it's quiet in here. When we have a guest minister, do not come up to them afterwards and sell your product. That is so... That's disgusting. You should honor the person.
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you what I'm. Let me tell you what I do. Yeah. They're in the anointing of God.
Right.
Can I explain something to y'all? Most of you know this. When someone preaches, they're preaching in an anointing. And when they get through preaching, it's still on them. Their spirit is open.
Right.
So don't go jump on them with something natural and carnal and casual and needy.
Yeah.
Give them some time to cool off. Who eats lunch with me? See, it takes me a little while. And I like to go because Ronnie does all the talking, and so we can all, I don't have to talk a lot while she's telling all her stuff. Am I right, Ronnie? You do? Yes, you do. Don't get mad. You do all the time. I'm grateful. She does all the visiting and starts a lot of the topics. And so I don't have to. Me and you can eat, right? That's what we do. But we know what to do with that. Ronnie, I'm not insulting you. I'm telling you, she's a talker. But she's got things to say. But I gotta cool off. I gotta come to a different place. You do that after you minister. Am I right? Because it's wide open. So we want to respect those things. We want to respect the anointing. We want, when you come down to get prayed for, you want to respect that anointing and receive it. Have capacity to receive it. This is how we're going to get into miracles. I said all the other things to let you know that I'm talking about honoring the presence of God. That's what I said all the other stuff for. That we honor the presence of God. That we honor the Word of God. Amen. We have respect. Thank you, Lord. So I just want to say this to you. If you wonder why things haven't moved along for you, go back and notice if maybe you've lightly esteemed somewhere. Maybe somewhere, there's a couple of places I really got convicted over. And I was like, oh yeah. And I've already repented and talked to some of the staff members about it and said, you know what, I've been doing this wrong. And I'm going to make sure I do it right. And I think we all need to make sure we're doing this. When we come into here, I told the staff, I said, maybe we need to call the coffee shop the outer court. Where you visit and you have fun and slap each other on the back out there, and then you prepare yourself as you're walking through here to come into God's presence and honor His presence. It doesn't mean we can't laugh. It's not what I'm talking about. That's one way of honoring God's presence, is to be joyful and laugh. But I'm talking about not being coarse and just honoring God, honoring Him in what's going on in the Word, honoring Him when we're praying. I told Deb on the way, I said, you know, a couple of times y'all'd be practicing, and who's going to pray? And Jesse says, I'll pray. And I reached down and I picked up my phone. And I went, wait a minute, they're praying. What am I doing? Put your phone down or go out.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, but they're just practicing. But see, they're not practicing songs. They're practicing the anointing. They're practicing moving in the anointing. Are they practicing the music? Yes. But they're practicing coming into the anointing in the music. This is good. This is what we need to hear. When you go to the prayer meeting, be aware of what's happening. I'm talking about not letting these things be common. You know, as we close here, I was thinking about something years ago, probably the late 90s, I guess. The church came up with this thing about being relevant. Remember? Mm-hmm. Being relevant. Yeah. When I think back on that, I'm not sure that was such a good idea. Mm. I realized they were trying to come out of religion. And they were trying to come out of legalism, the church. We all were. But I think things got a little bit too mixed up with the worldly culture.
Yeah. All right.
Because we're supposed to create the culture. And the culture is not necessarily, you know, I would say white pants and black shirt and white pants, but you had those on, so. Oh, Kevin does too. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about those little boys who walked down the street that, you know, okay, the little missionary guys. I'm not talking about that. I mean, we're going to have our pickup trucks and our cowboy hats and our boots and all that. I'm not talking about not having the Texas culture or anything like that. I'm just talking about the culture of the church. I'm talking about the culture of the church. We should be taking the mountains. We should be leading in that. We should build a culture in this area. And people go, this is a Christian area.
Come on.
Yeah. This Christian area is who we are. It doesn't take away from rodeoing or anything else. Truck driving and deer hunting. Well, it doesn't take away from any of that, but it adds a way higher honor. We serve God.
Right.
I'm with God.
Right.
I serve God.
Amen.
I'll just say one more thing to you. You can shout, God is going to bless me by His grace all day long. But if you lightly esteem others or your God, the only grace that you're going to get is the grace to start over and over. So what's going to be? You'll just start over and over. Well, by grace, we're going to get it all by grace. Yeah, you will by grace. By you receiving it. And stewarding it, and not out of your flesh, but because of God, God's power in you and through you. And now that I've preached you this message about honor, let me tell you how easy it's going to be to make the presence of God uncommon, how we can honor. It's going to be so easy for you because of this one reason. Once you preached it, once you heard it, once you received it, you've got the grace to do it. Praise the Lord.